This is the panel on sponsoring, sponsorship. My name is Mary, and I'm an alcoholic. Hi. It's nice to be here. I'm from Colorado. And I drove here, and the state is very, very beautiful. I enjoyed all the states we went through, but I really enjoyed Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia. Very beautiful place to live. Our panel today consists of three other members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I have a feeling that they're much more prepared to speak on this topic than I am. I feel like I'm the baby of the group. I don't know for sure, but I feel that. I'll have, come March 14th, 9 years in the program, and as my friend Lynn says, in a row, 9 years in a row. 6 years before that, I entered AA, and I drank three times, and when I got up to get my sixth chip, I told the truth and said this was my first year. I'd faked it the rest of the years because I'd become the secretary and then I'd just take the chip quietly and not tell anyone. So I finally got the honesty part 6 years into the program. So I'm glad to be here today and I was glad to have been asked. When I signed up for this conference, it said, are you willing to help in any area or something like this? And I put any area. And I got this phone call asking me if I would be on a panel and that the panel was on sponsors. And I kind of hesitated because, like I said, I feel like a neonate in this program. However, I have been sponsored and I do sponsor. And so I must have something to share with you because I was asked and I don't usually say no. I never say no. For me, I thought that my first sponsor was purchased for me. And the reason I thought that was because one day about 6 weeks before, six friends met me in my living room at 6 a.m. in the morning and handed me a ticket they'd purchased for me. And the ticket was to another state, and it was to a treatment center. And so when we came around through in this treatment center to talking about sponsors, I thought, oh, my God, who am I going to ask? I don't know anybody. How would I ever, oh, blah, 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 you know how you do. And one of the counselors came up to me and said, we've gotten a sponsor for you. And I was just shocked. I mean, I was in another state, and I thought, well, how does this work? And they had found someone from my hometown who was willing to sponsor me, unseen, uninvestigated, and she was a doctor. And I thought, well, great, that'll work out. I'm a nurse, she's a doctor, we'll just have a swell time. Well, she happened to work in the emergency room where I work. I was the head nurse of the emergency room, and I thought, and then they told me her name, and I thought, oh, my God. Well, that'll work out. And I saw her the first week I was released from treatment, and I never saw her again. She was a very, very busy physician. I kept talking to answering machines, and I never saw her at a meeting, which is difficult. I never spoke with her again, and except that when we would be on duty together, which is a little hard to talk about AA-related issues. Anyway, so that went on for about a year and a half, and then I had a friend who sold drugs, and I don't mean street drugs, I mean prescription drugs, and she was in recovery, and so I sort of wrote a Dear Jane letter to my doctor friend and talked to her in the emergency room, and I started seeing this other person that I adopted as my sponsor. Well, she said yes. I guess she adopted me. And she went out and drank. And so I was not batting too well with sponsors, and I kind of floated around for three more years without a sponsor. And I don't recommend that to anyone. Absolutely do not recommend it. I think the first most important thing is to find a sponsor to help guide you through the steps. We can't do the steps alone. And there's great wisdom in, we can't do the program alone, but especially the steps. I think the great wisdom of the two men who started our program is that they decided we had to share it with one other human being. And that absolutely was the thing that I needed and I found about 6 years into the program when I stood up and said, I really only have 1 year. I had drank three times in 6 years, and I kept coming back to AA. They were one-night stands, so I just, you know, would come back the next day, but I'd never tell you that I drank. And I think it's the sponsor who helps you with honesty as well. And that's when I started to grow up and get nearly 9 years in a row, as my friend, one of my friends says. For 6 years, without a really good sponsor, I didn't talk. I was very quiet, and I only said nice things. I didn't tell you how badly I felt. And so when I got my sponsor, she started suggesting things. And I'm Irish and have a temper and I am stubborn, but I don't think I ever said no to her that I recall. It's like I finally surrendered to someone who had more sobriety than me. And that's the crux. That's the crux. Surrendering and doing the things that I was told to do by my sponsor. And the really neat thing about that is then when you sponsor someone, you get to paybacks, you know. You get to tell them, dress up if you're going to talk. Wear something nice, you know. Anyway, I think the three little things that I want to leave with you is a sponsor is invaluable. A sponsor can be your most intimate friend who knows more about you than your husband's, your boyfriend's, your girlfriend's. I mean, you can tell your sponsor anything. My sponsor is in the crowd today, and I'm real proud that she's here for me. Very grateful. One thing I heard yesterday, someone was kind of speaking on sponsorship, and she said, you do the first three steps on your sponsor, too, because you're totally powerless over them, and your life has just become unmanageable with them. You know, you want to regain your sanity, and they're making you crazy, and you pray to God to that you can surrender to this and let your sponsor run the program for you until you have your feet to stand on. I finished speaking, and I'd like to present our second panelist, who will be Helen R. from Roswell, Georgia.
Thank you, Mary. My name's Helen. I am an alcoholic. I just heard a little earlier, I always learn something new, not every hour, but often. And she said she took drank a cup of coffee now, socially. I love that. I wonder if I can use that. I took some notes, and especially when this came out of the grapevine, I wanted to read this to you. I thought it was very good. Bill wrote in the Grapevine in 1947 the following: each newcomer is assigned to a reasonable, stable AA member whose word he becomes during his brief period of introduction, whose ward can read my own writing. He becomes, during his brief period of introduction to our way of life, the sponsor makes hospital arrangements if necessary. There he gives him a powerful shot as to what our society is like before he goes to a meeting, or if no hospital, the sponsor will try to taper him off. Tries to taper off his prospect or drag him half dazed to an AA meeting, where the new man, woman, proceeds to get a lot of confused impressions. Now, this is in the grapevine. Bill wrote it. It is the job of the sponsor to begin to help clear the confusion and answer questions. Job of the sponsor. And that, some of this we don't do now. I mean, some of this I don't do now. I don't make arrangements for hospitals. And a few things have changed, but isn't this the spirit of this in the grapevine in that year is wonderful, don't you think? 1947, that's just before my time. I heard a speaker say one time, you only needed 5 words to be a sponsor. That was yes, no, really? Wow. Whatever. That's great. I wrote that down. I shared it with my sponsor. I made a 12-step call one time on a lady who had been to AA and had begun to drink again. I went to see her, and she said, yes, she'd go back to AA if we wouldn't call her a pigeon. And I promised her I would not call her a pigeon if she'd come on back. And that's what they called us in those days. You can say, you can tell, even though 47 is before my time, I've been around a little while. And I've been sober a little while. And I've been sponsored, and I've sponsored a little while. Someone asked me one day, how many people do you sponsor? And I said, I don't count them. They seem to work themselves out. They come and stay, or they come and go. And it's nothing that I have to be concerned about. I've been fired once. I've just not received a call from them. I don't call much. I don't give, you know, I don't say you have to call me every day. I don't sponsor like that. I sponsor in principle. I sponsor using the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. But I said to a girl one day, Kate, who, no matter what her name is. Anyway, she asked me to be her sponsor. She's been sober a while. And I knew she literally met her sponsors once a week and taught them the steps, taught them the big book. And she had a guideline that she used. And I said, why did you ask me to be your sponsor? I'm curious, because I don't sponsor that way. I don't, you know, meet them every week and go through the steps and whatever. And she said, I do that. I don't need for you to do that. So good enough for me. But I shared my experience, strength, and hope, and I use stories a lot because that's what my sponsor did. And we may sponsor, I sponsor like my sponsor did. And sometimes people have told me they wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and realize what I just said the day before. So you have to kind of hang in with me. I was talking to Kathy earlier, and I said, actually, us who speak slower should have 20 minutes, and she can have 10. Once you hear Kathy, you'll understand. And I do have a sponsor, and I do believe that sponsors should have sponsors. I believe that personally. And I have one. And she is for me. She was not for me for 20 years, I can tell you. In fact, I talked about her behind her back. I thought she was tough, rough. She embarrassed me. She'd say something about me in the meeting, and I'd go home and just muss and fuss about her and complain. But when I got in some real, real trouble, not drinking trouble, just living trouble, about 10 years ago, I picked up the phone and I called the very person that I'd said she was awful, terrible. And I told her I wanted to be like her someday, and except for the cussing. I couldn't get the cussing down. And she said, I won't say what she said, but she said, I don't drink and I don't date. Well, after all, she was anyway, I don't date, she said, and I don't do very much. I don't dance, and she said, that's all I got left. But she's better. She's better. I've helped her. I think what I've discovered, and I hope I'm open always to doing something better. I slip sometimes in sponsoring, and for years I did discuss marriages. I did discuss divorces a lot. I really am not sure how to avoid it yet. Even yet, I'm not sure how to avoid it. But I think what I've learned from my sponsor is she does not tell me what to do. And I've been trying very hard to learn that. And I always come up with a story that's telling her what to do if she's listening. But I remember calling my sponsor one day and I said, do you need permission? That was a mistake. That word permission was a mistake. And I said, do you need permission to do what you think is right? Because I was having trouble. I didn't have the courage to do what I thought was right in that particular experience. And she said two words, and I'm going to say what she said. Hell no. That's what she said, two words, and she was through with it. Now, I'm wordy, and that's one reason I went to her. The other one is, I figured it out. Tell me why I figured it out. I had to get honest to figure it out, that she saw the dishonesty in me. And I walk in, and she'd look at me, and I just knew she knew. And she did, you know. I can kind of tell. It's not up to me to take someone's inventory, but I can tell. Sometimes I can look at someone's eyes, especially if I know them very well, and tell there's some trouble. Not always. I remember I walked up to someone one day and I said, how are you? And she said, fine. And I said, are you sure? And she said, well, unless you know something I don't know, I was fine. I was fine before. So sometimes we go a little too deep. I have had three sponsors. My first one was the one that I really always remember. She was the one that, well, she fired me. I was doing things that in sober in AA she didn't approve of. And she, in her own way, tried to tell me stories that would get my attention, and I couldn't hear her, no matter how she'd said it, probably. But I hear her now, and I imagine any of you that have heard some truth in your time, when the time comes, it's there. It's funny, it's there. It doesn't go away. And so I figure, go ahead and say it. Oh, I figure. And sometimes I say, put it on the shelf, like my sponsor did. She said, put it on the shelf. And if you can't use it now, because sometimes they'll say, I don't know what you're talking about, Helen. And I say, put it on the shelf. And one time I said that to one of the girls, and she said, I got so many things on that shelf, I don't know if I, I don't know if I can put anything else on it. I happen to work on the phones, and that's not really my sponsorship job, as it says here about job in what I read about Bill. But I hear a newcomer over and over and over, and I have to, and I think, well, maybe I need to change and adjust to what they need to hear, but I can't seem to change me. But if I stick to my primary purpose, and that is listening as well as sharing, and that we are on the same level. We're on the same level. It's just that pamphlet called Members Eye View of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you've never read it, get it. Very good. Members Eye View of Alcoholics Anonymous says that one of them needs to be just a little bit sober. And he doesn't describe exactly what that means, I assume, not drinking. But he was, let's see, his experience was, he talked the two people, he talked him into going back, and the other guy talked him into going back and drinking. It's excellent, and I'm sure I messed the whole thing up. Anyway, I guess that's about it. I think my 10 minutes is up, even though I talk slow, and she's going to get some of my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. Our next speaker is Deb P. from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, well, my name is Deborah. I'm an alcoholic. Thank Helen and Mary for what they share on sponsorship. You know, wow, I don't know if I can add a lot to that. I know that sponsorship has been the most valuable thing for me in sobriety. You know, it's been a life and death. You know, my sponsor literally saved my life, you know, and I like to talk a little bit and share how I got my sponsor, because I think it's important. And back in our area, we're kind of getting away from that. It seems like it's more like a popularity thing anymore than telling people the truth. My sponsor absolutely told me the truth. So I'm going to tell you in the beginning, I was pissed off at her a lot, you know. She was more concerned because she was against anything that I'd asked, you know, as far as following directions, you know. Even though I was on my way to jail for the fourth time, you know, I had a hard time following directions, you know, and authority figure, you know. That was my excuse anyway, but it was really just self-will run riot, you know, running the show myself. But I remember asking this woman to be my sponsor, and it's the first thing she said, I want you to get a pamphlet from the beginning. She started giving directions. I want you to get the pamphlet on sponsorship, you know. I didn't know what that had anything to do with anything, you know. I talked to her. She said, sobriety is my number one priority. If you want to stay sober, you know, and the guy that took me to my first meeting told me this. Right from the beginning, God put these people in my life, man, you know, that pissed me off a lot, you know, because these people talked to me in a way I thought, you know, who are they talking to? That guy said, when I blow the horn, you be ready. If you ain't ready, I'm pulling out and I ain't coming back. And my sponsor said, sobriety and a way of life. That's what I got to offer you. And if you're willing to do the things that I asked you to do, she said, I will not waste. She let me know she wasn't going to waste my time. See, I understood. If I wanted a friend, I can get a dog. You know, her concern was for me to live today. And thank God, man. Thank God. That's what I got from the beginning, man. And some of the things I see today, I think, man, you know, I'm real grateful. I'm grateful for the teachers I got early on because they literally saved my life, man. My home, my first home group. See, God, I've been sponsored 101, but I've been sponsored through home group. I've been sponsored through old timers, you know, the ones where when you're talking, they tell you to be quiet. See, they didn't wait for your sponsor to be around. If your sponsor was around, they didn't worry, you know, or sit up for. I remember my first home group, George. I was reading the paper, and he said, "We don't read papers in AA." You know, from the beginning, I don't know why God put these people in my life. From the beginning, I couldn't come in here and do some of the things I see people do today. Talk while people was talking. They said, "You learn to show respect. When people behind the podium reading, you know, you be quiet." My sponsor said, "The only thing you know about is being drunk. Maybe if you shut up long enough, you'll learn how to be sober." You know, them the things that I was given, man. I'm going to tell you, man. Oh, man, my feelings was hurt a lot, you know. She said, "I want you to call me every day," you know. And that was just a step, a relationship, you know, because she knew that if I started to call her regularly, that I would call her when I need her, you know. So it's just an automatic thing to do. My sponsor knew me so well that I could walk in the room, she said. I had to walk, and I still got today sometimes when, you know, when I'm running my life, and my sponsor would say, "What's going on?" You know, she knew me because she took the time to know who I was. She took quality time. I'm going to tell you, that's what kept me coming back to AA, that these people would take their time to spend with me. And that's the stuff I give my sponsors. I take time with my sponsors. I know my babies. You know, they be trying to wait to tell me something, and I already know. And I know by spending time with them. My sponsor spent time with me, see. She didn't have so much babies, and she was so well, you know, that she didn't have time to know about me. And see, I think that's what we're getting away from. And that causes anonymous because we got 10 to 15 people. Never mind all of them sick, you know, it's all getting back, you know. That we're not taking the time to spend with these people. And we sit and we complain about the things they do in these rooms. Well, my sponsor let me know. My sponsor told me about traditions. My sponsor was an example. She told me a whole lot of things, but most importantly, she was an example. My sponsor was involved in service. So I got all that, and I'm just so grateful, you know, right from the beginning, you know. And that's our sponsor. And now I use my grand sponsor. She became my sponsor because it came a time where, you know, that for a minute I was sponsoring myself, which means I was listening to an idiot, you know. And I had to, you know, make sure because the longer I'm sober, the more I need to hear something louder in my head. And that's what my sponsor is. My sponsor is louder than my head, you know. And so I just started sharing with my grand sponsor. I've already always shared with her anyway from the beginning, you know. But we got to share until I just started to use her as a sponsor because it's important, you know, that I do the exact same things I did, you know. My sobriety day is September 26th of 1986, and I'll tell you, I do the exact same thing except for more, you know. I got to do a little bit more, you know, because I got a lot more to lose today than I did when I first came in. But it was through sponsorship. It was through people taking the time to show me what this deal was about, man. And I'll be forever grateful. I'll be forever grateful to my sponsor. And her sponsor, because they literally saved my life, you know. And the old timers, you know, that told you to sit up front. I remember my grand sponsor, you know, and they would come get me. I was in treatment, you know, and I remember her telling me, too, when you get out of treatment, forget everything you think you know, and we're going to do it AA's way. They let me know the difference, see, so I knew the difference. You know, I knew what AA was about and what, you know, and what that other stuff was about through sponsorship, you know. I learned how to suit up and get a job. She said, "You're self-supporting through your own contribution, you know." She said, "It's time for you to live out. It's time. You old. It's your turn now." See, that's the type of sponsorship I had. She didn't let me stay in halfway houses, you know, because left with me, I was institutionalized anyway. I could stay in them place. She said, "No, you get a job. You know, you've been taking enough. It's time for you to show up, you know, like everybody else been doing." All that stuff, absolutely everything about my life, I learned through sponsorship. Not only by her telling me, but being an example of them things. See, because we can be on this podium, we can say a lot of things, but I got to see how my sponsor lived in their life with her husband, with her kids, you know, on her job, see. And see, them things is important, you know, when she got in trouble, you know, financially. You know, how do you, what do? Well, you pay your bills, you know, you quit compulsive spending, you know. And I got all that stuff through sponsorship. So it's just been a saving grace, and it continues to be that for me. I talked to my sponsor before, you know, she said, and she's a trip, you know. She knows me so well, man, and I know her. I called her. I know about what she's going to say, but she said, "You going down there?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "What you sharing on, you know?" And one of the things she tells me, you know, she said, "You get up here and share, you know, and it ain't about entertaining. You know, it's about sharing. I mean, so even about speaking, you know. And she the type is, if she don't hear me now, she's a Xenia. She'll say, well, I'm chairing this month, and I want you to come down and lead because I want to see where you at. See, my sponsor, you know, when I call, I can't call and say I'm calling, just checking in. You know, I'm just calling, you know, checking in. She say, checking in, you know, what defect are you taking a look at today? You know, and she's constantly doing that. You know, I was like, you know, wow, man, don't you ever have anything nice to say to me? You know, I mean, I'm 13 years sober now. I mean, she still talks to me in the same fashion she talked to me in the first year, you know. So I get exactly what I need, but man, it saves my life, man. And I think that's about it. There ain't a lot to say about sponsorship, see, because it wasn't about the just debating stuff that you hear, you know, that people want to argue. You know, they don't know how to live or stay sober, but they want to try to question you on why they need to do this stuff. See, it wasn't about that. If you wanted to argue and debate, then you found somebody else to do that with, you know. Thank God, you know, and that's what I do with the people I sponsor. You know, because the time I was talking, debating with you, I can be sharing with another person. And then the book got it. It's another thing, too, that's very important, that my sponsor sponsored me out of the book. It's a whole chapter on working with others. And it tells you, said, don't waste time if a person don't want what you had. You know, my sponsor didn't try to convince me that it ain't work. You know, she wasn't trying to take any rights from me. She told me, you can do anything you want. But if you want to live sober, this is how we do it. You know, and it's outlined in the first 164 pages, you know. And then she walked with me and we started to apply and put them things in action. And man, my life has took off, man. They talk about being rocketed into the fourth dimension. I tell you, that's what my life has did, because I had that desperation. See, the fight was over. Thank God. The fight was over by the time I got here. And I had that desperation that if my sponsor would have told me go in the corner and stand on my head, I'd have did that. You know, that surrender. And I think that's what we need. We have to surrender. Until then, they say, until the pupils, when the pupil's ready, the teacher will appear. See, I can't get nobody sober and I don't get nobody drunk. You know, that's a lot of misconception around here too. You know, because if a person want what I have, you know, then they want to do what I do. And one thing I tell the people I sponsor, that my sponsor, if I'm telling you something that ain't in the book, then tell me to get a life, you know. I don't try to get involved, you know, I have my opinion, you know, we all do. But I try to base it out of what's the guide in the book, big book, because it's a guide for living there. And that's the guide that my sponsor gives me, and that's the guide that I try to share back. And I can tell you, just literally saved my life. Today I walk in a new happiness and a new freedom. And it happened, started with one drunk taking the time to talk to another drunk. And to me, that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is about. Thanks.
Thanks, Deb. That was very nice. I think you said something that was really struck me, and that was our sponsors teach us how to live sober. And it's just so true. We need to have an example before us of how to do it. And my best thinking and judgment got me here. And so I need someone that can be the example that I need to live in a different way. Our last speaker is Kathy W. from DePlain, Illinois. Did I say it right? DePlains? Des Plaines. Oh, well. Colorado is easier. Kathy?
Thank you very much. Good morning, ladies. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Deborah and Helen, for sharing. And as Helen was speaking, it's like she and I came from the same school. When I was asked to speak on sponsorship, I thought, why didn't they put me on another panel? Because I'm not a very good sponsor. I know that. And I don't kid myself into thinking I'm one of the better sponsors around, because I'm not. And I'll preface my life a little bit. When someone said to me, would you be my sponsor? I will say, you know, I really don't have a lot of time, but I will give you what I have. And if they want to take me on at that rate, fine. But most people that ask me to sponsor them, they'll hear me talk, and then right away they'll come to me and say, will you sponsor me? Know nothing about my life, nothing about my behavior, because I can tell you anything from the podium and live differently. But when I came around years ago, someone had mercy on me, had pity on me, and appointed me a sponsor. And I had my sponsor for 35 years until last year, when I felt I needed to be sponsored a little bit more holistically. and I got someone who was on the spiritual plane that I liked, with less sobriety too. So sometimes it's the quality of the sobriety more so than the quantity that I look for in an individual. But I still call my regular sponsor periodically and discuss things, and I didn't fire him. I just needed some else, some more inclusion in my life. I was told when I come around what to do, because I didn't know. I didn't know anything about the program. I didn't know what sponsorship meant. I was just told that, you know, this person will take you to a meeting, but because he took me to a meeting, it didn't necessarily mean that he would sponsor me. And I learned that later, because they take you to your first meeting and because they make the 12-step call on you, it doesn't mean that they have to sponsor you. So I got mine the hard way, and I appreciate everything that I was taught at that time, because he wasn't really kind with me. He wasn't really passive with me. He didn't nurture me. He was a man, and he was a tough, rigid man, and told me exactly what he wanted me to do, and I did it because I had nothing else left. I had no more energy in me. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. If I had, I wouldn't have been in the first place. So I was told. I was told how to work the steps. I was walked through them very carefully when I was prepared to do it. I didn't go in working the steps because I don't think he knew basically how to do them, but we were struggling together. But I did learn from him. He modeled behavior more so than anything else, and that's what I tried to do today as well, too. I like that reasonable AA sponsor, because if you're busy, you don't have a lot of time to sponsor as you should. I don't want people calling me every day telling me about their life. I don't want to hear it. I just don't want to hear it. It doesn't mean I don't care. It doesn't mean I'm not concerned. But I was allowed to grow. My sponsor nurtured me back into health. And when he thought I was healthy enough, I didn't have to report in every day. I didn't need that kind of rigorous structure. I never had it. And you tell me what to do, I wouldn't do it. But if you suggest to me what to do, then I'll do it. And that's what the program is about. It's about suggestion. It's not about you better do this, you better do that. If I read the material, I know what I better do because it tells me in the big book. I'm a better service sponsor than I am a regular AA sponsor. And I have enough insight into me to know that. And I don't mind telling somebody, you know what, fine. But I may not call you back today. So don't take my number and put me on a pedestal because I'll fall. And this is just the way I am. I try not to be an enabler. You know, I think that we should be allowed to make our own mistakes because that's the way we grow. I was allowed to make mine, and I learned from that. If someone is going to always tell me what to do, I have no experience, I can't expand my mind. And this is what I try to tell my sponsors. You know what? I will walk through with you whatever you need. I will go through the steps to the best of my ability with you. But you need to learn to make your own mistakes. That's when you can feel your own pain as opposed to someone telling you what the pain is going to be like. And that's what I do. I mean, I will try to do that. But personal stuff I don't really like to get into because I don't like to share a lot of my personal stuff. I do respect the anonymity of my sponsees. I don't necessarily like my sponsees telling my sponsor, or I don't tell my sponsor about my sponsee's life because I respect that. I will ask them sometime, you know what, I think I need to consult with somebody, with my sponsor. Can I do that? And they'll say yes. So I have to keep that in mind, too, because we come on a different level, and we all are not the same. And when I came in, I didn't care who knew what I was drinking. I mean, I didn't care anything like that. But now I do. I respect it today because our program is based on principles, and anonymity is our primary purpose, is our primary focus as well, too. So I really do try to do that. Again, I'm a better service sponsor. But you know what I like to do? When the person is really, really in pain, you know, when you first come in, you're really in pain, then I can help you because you're more receptive to receiving, because that's the way I was. And like Helen, I used to answer the telephones a lot too. And sometimes I would identify with the crier, you know, and I would see that person at a meeting and knew and just watch them. It's like a metamorphosis. We just bloom and blossom. But I was allowed to make my own mistakes, and I did that. A friend, yes, but I choose friends. My best friend is not in the program, and most people, it's not like that. There are some things I can share with her that I don't share with you in the program, because when I came around, I did disclose some information, and I heard it again. So somewhere down the line, I have not developed that 100% trust with you yet, and that's years ago. I don't hold the resentment, but I just know my limitation, what I should say at a meeting, what I should not say in a meeting. And again, I just do. You know, I will tell someone, like on a 101, like tonight, last night in the room there, we shared. I will do that individually or on a 101, but saying it in a meeting, I learned a long time ago there are some things that you do share with your sponsor and some things you don't put out there. And I was taught that early on, and I did it anyhow. And then I regretted it since that day. But I will walk with you through the steps. I do ask questions of how are you doing, because I was asked. And now when I call my sponsor, he'll say, what the hell are you doing? Why haven't you called me? And I haven't told him that. I fired him a long time ago. But but he serves his purpose as well, too, because when I needed him to be there, he was there for me. And now I need more than that. As I grow, I need people who are on the same plane. And he's not there on the spiritual side of it. And I know that. So there's no way for me to say, you know what, let's talk about the Bible. Let's talk about God. I can talk anything that I want with the sponsor that I have now. And she understands where I'm coming from. My sponsor wouldn't tell me. He'll say, would you pray about it? Maybe. But I needed someone to ask me that, as opposed to saying, okay, fine, Kathy, did you read the big book? Sometimes the answer for me is not in the big book. It's on my knees. And I need people to tell me that and ask me that, because I forget. But that's where I am. I've been around a long time, and I've watched people come and go. And with this one lady who was bulimic, she asked me to sponsor her. I had nothing in common with her. I was fasting one time, and I made the mistake of saying to her that I hadn't eaten in 2 days. And it's like, why did I say that? You know, I can't do that. So I'm very careful with the people that I sponsor as to what their personalities are like, because sometimes we do clash. And, you know, when I was out there, I was put down so much by society and by people. I didn't need to come in here and have someone else put me down, too. So I try to remember those things and to sponsor the way that I feel one can understand it without enabling the person. And it's just different. But again, I don't say no, but I have to ask them, like, Helen, why do you want me to sponsor you? I said, let's think about it. You know, think about it. I'll call you. We can get together, but not necessarily to be a sponsor. Then later, if you want me to sponsor you, that's a different story. But don't hear me speak and then say, will you be my sponsor when you don't know how I live? Because we set by example. And if my behavior is fine here, I could walk out of this room and turn on that other person. And you may not like it, but I do. I got it the hard way. I was forced to sit in the car 2 hours after the meeting and have a meeting and really pour my heart out. I don't say I'm going to sit in the car with you 2 hours after the meeting. I've been fired. Actually, one of the ladies in California that I've known for years and years asked me last year at the women's conference if I would sponsor her. She said, you know what, you're tough enough to sponsor me, because everybody else think that I'm not. I mean, she's a big known speaker. If I would tell your name, everybody would know her. And I've known her for years. She says, I need you to sponsor me. I'm like, okay, fine. At the time, I didn't have email. So we would call each other. And then she wrote me a nice note once. And she said, why in the hell you don't have email? I said, I don't have it. I just don't have it. Well, now I do. Anyway, she wrote me this nice little card inside. You know what? I've decided I need someone I can touch. And I'm going to ask such and such a person to be my sponsor. I will still love you. I felt like my ego was deflated. How the hell can she fire me? You know. But I understand. And now that I have email, every day I come home from work, I have an email from her. And we talk. We communicate now. But you need someone that you can touch sometimes, because sometimes you do need a hug and you can't get to a meeting. So I know what I need when I need it, and I try and help you understand what you need to get your needs met as well. But it was funny. So I have been fired by someone, and I will probably be fired again. But I try and preface it and tell you, don't expect miracles from me, because I'm not a worker like that. But I will. I will try, because I'll give it to you the way that I got it. And I didn't get it in such a nice way, but it kept me clean and sober. I have not relapsed, thank God, one day at a time working the program since I came in. And I came in when there were not a lot of women around, young women around to sponsor me. And those that were around thought I had my nose in the air, and they just didn't touch me. So that's how I ended up with the male sponsor. And to this day, I'm grateful to God that he's there. He was there for me then, and he's there for me now. And if there's something that I need to talk to him about, he's always there. So he is more of a friend now than a sponsor. And then I have a female that takes me on and challenges me at times. But she does really, really okay, fine, what's going on with you? I have not heard from you in a week. I haven't heard from you in 2 weeks. Like, okay, fine. I am making meetings. I'm doing fine. But if there's something wrong, I know who to call. And I'll ask my sponsees, is there someone in your life that you can call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning? Because I may not be available to you. And they'll say no, or yes. If they said no, find someone you can call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and they won't say to you, why are you calling me this time? Talk to me tomorrow. Because when you need help right now. You need someone that's going to be available to you. But I try to be available at 2 o'clock in the morning, but it may not sink in for 2 or 3 days later. But I think we all need that. We need someone who we can feel comfortable calling at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they won't say, oh, go and get a glass of warm milk and call me tomorrow. And I recognize that. But, you know, sometimes when you're around for a long time, things just don't seem as important as they do when you're around for 5 years. I mean, if I was at the same stage now that I was then, I would be in bad shape. And there are some issues that my people bring to me that I think that they need to go to a therapist because I don't want to go there with you. I mean, because we are all feeding on each other, and we're all sick as hell. There are some issues, but we are. I mean, if we weren't, we wouldn't be here. So, and we do feed on each other. So you have to know, when can I draw this line? When do I need more? And I have asked myself, when do I need something that AA is not offering me? Because sometimes when we're both sick, we can't see it. And sometimes AA is not necessarily the answer. So I try to grow and mature in the program as recommended in the big book, because it tells us right in the book that, hey, this is a way of life, but it teaches you how to deal with the outside world. And if I tell you how I do it, you may not do it the same way. My program may not work for you. So I'll help you find your own. This is the way I got it. So if it's not what's working for you, maybe you should get someone else, because that's not me. Thank you.